Before we get back to the show, I want to tell you about another podcast from our promotional partners at CBC. The 1950s and 1960s saw a wave of radical movements. Recall, How to Start a Revolution explores the rise and fall of the FLQ in Quebec and Canada, a showdown that dissolved into crisis. By October 1970, there were soldiers in the streets, kidnapping, and terror in the headlines. Listen to the stories of that time through the people who lived it. The bomb disposal expert, the survivors, their families, and the radicals themselves. You can listen to Recall on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we want to continue our regular look at how this election is seen across the country with Patricia Lopez. She's an editorial writer for the Star Tribune, and she joins us from St. Paul, Minnesota. And Daniel Garza, he's president of the advocacy group, the Libre Initiative, which will host a policy forum with Vice President Pence this Friday. Daniel Garza is also a former White House staffer in the Bush administration. And we welcome both of you to the NewsHour. We were listening to President Trump's remarks at the White House just about half an hour ago. Patricia Lopez, the president again continuing to cast doubt on mail-in voting. The people you talk to, how much confidence do they tell you they have in the integrity of the American voting system?
They have a high degree of confidence. And in Minnesota, they've taken special precautions because we've been through this before with the Frank and Coleman race and others. So there is a ballot tracker. You don't have to check your ballot at the polling place a second time. There is a barcode that's assigned to voters that will help match up things along with personally identifying information. So this goes way beyond the, you know, old signature match. So they think, given all of those things, and we have had an unprecedented number of applications for absentee ballots come in. The Secretary of State here thinks that as much as a third of the state could vote either by mail or early.
Interesting. Daniel Garza, what about where you are? What are people saying to you about how much confidence they have in the voting system?
There is confidence in the voting system. Latinos in Texas will tell you that where they have most of the confidence is actually in-person voting because they feel that there is a high rejection rate for Latinos in Texas when it comes to mail-in and ballots. The rules change from county to county. For example, we're going to start October 13th early voting, but you have to get your ballot in or your application for the ballot by the 23rd. But some counties ask that it be 45 days prior. So you have to know what's going on. You have to do some research. The reason that they prefer to do voting in person is because names in the mail-in ballots have to match exactly. And Latinos like to use their mother's surname, and sometimes that is a problem. Many don't have permanent addresses. We have a high volume of senior citizens who are in senior citizen homes here and are transient as well. And many require oral assistance because of language. So the possibility of disenfranchisement is real when it comes to mail-in ballots. We know that in Virginia, 5% of all the primary mail-in ballots were rejected. This is an extraordinarily high number, and so there's worry about that. And over two-thirds of Latinos will tell you that they prefer mail-in ballot.
We know that there's a lot more attention being paid to all of this year. It does put a greater burden on voters themselves to find out what the rules are. I want to turn more broadly, though, now to the Latino vote, the vote among Hispanics. You know, Patricia Lopez in Minnesota, I know the Latino community is not enormous, but to the Hispanic voters, Latino voters you speak with, what are they saying about this election, about the thinking between the choice between President Trump and Joe Biden?
There's a lot of energy among these voters. They are engaged in a way that I think they haven't always been because, as they've told me, they feel a direct connection between the policies and the effects on their lives. A lot of them have seen that play out on the immigration front. We have a lot of what are called mixed status families here. So you have DACA recipients, you have, you know, older people who have immigrated themselves, young American-born children. And so all of them see a direct connection. There's a lot of, you know, anti-Trump energy. The enthusiasm for Biden is not quite as high. A lot of them are more intent on voting against Trump than for Biden.
And Daniel Garza, what about the Latino? I know you're very involved in the organization Libre, but even beyond that, as you talk to people you know about the Latino vote, what are you hearing?
Look, I think there's something different this time around for Donald Trump in that he actually has a record that he can showcase. And it was one that benefited the Latino community tremendously with record unemployment, record labor participation rates, record wage growth, and record home ownership. These are all things that help tremendously to increase the prosperity for Latinos. So they have now, as opposed to in 2016, a record to run on. At the same time, I think they're generating a lot of excitement. They're mobilizing Latinos to recruit Latinos, to persuade Latinos. This is very important because for Latinos, it's very important that we relate to the messenger. Folks who share, who have a shared language, a shared culture, shared experiences, and when Latinos are going door to door talking to Latinos, this generates excitement. The flotillas, the caravans, the in-person events that the president is doing.
And you're saying, if I could just quickly to clarify, you're saying that's happening despite the pandemic.
That is happening despite the pandemic. I think people are trying to take steps in respecting the protocols for the restrictions in state by state. We're going to make sure that we comply fully with Arizona state laws when we have our policy meeting with the vice president. But it will be in person with an audience. Absolutely, it will.
Patricia Lopez, what about what kind of outreach are you seeing from the Biden and the Trump campaigns, door to door versus virtual?
I think a lot of it has been virtual. The candidates themselves, I mean, we will have both President Trump and former Vice President Biden here on Friday when early voting starts. So that will be sort of a kickoff for that kind of in-person engagement. But there have been door-to-door volunteers. I don't think there is the sense here that the Trump record has been particularly positive for Latinos, not among the people I have talked to. They're wary. I think they have seen a lot of the effects of deportations, their concerns about ICE, their concerns about COVID regarding essential workers, and a sense that they don't really count for as much as others do. And that's been really disturbing to a lot of them. The one thing I do keep hearing about is that a lot of them are very intrigued by Kamala Harris, and they feel that she may be part of a new message, a new tone that the Biden camp is trying to send, disconnecting them a little bit from the Obama administration, because Obama was a very mixed bag for them. He did create the DACA program for a lot of deportations under President Obama. And for some in the Latino community, that's been a little hard to get behind, but they feel overall much worse under Trump.
So interesting. We're going to continue to reach out to the two of you throughout this campaign. We thank you, Patricia Lopez, Daniel Garza. Thank you.
Thank you.